On Wednesday's front page, President Obama is defending his agreement with congressional Republicans on extending the Bush-era tax cuts, but he's facing a revolt in his own party. A British judge sent WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange to jail. Assange says he'll fight efforts to have him extradited. And how teachers the city wants to fire spend their days while their cases work their way through the system. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins after this.
This New York Times podcast is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity system that features turn-by-turn directions. Sync locates your destination in seconds and then audibly guides you through all your turns without additional hardware to purchase. Sync is a system that's subscription-free, and it's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
Our top story says the president is defending the deal to extend the Bush-era tax cuts. He said too many Americans would suffer if he refused to bend to Republicans who demanded the cuts be continued. So far, Democratic congressional leaders have refused to endorse the agreement. Times reporter David Hershenhorn explains.
There is deep anger and frustration among many Democrats, particularly on the left, at the way this tax debate has played out. There were discussions about potentially having votes on the tax issue before the election, but by waiting until after the election at a point when Democrats had suffered some really difficult defeats, they were over a barrel, and there's no choice but to compromise here or face a tax increase for everyone at the beginning of the year. And so you're hearing Democrats on Capitol Hill voice some deep, deep frustration about the prospect of continuing the tax policies of George W. Bush.
Times reporter David Hershenhorn. Also on Wednesday's front page, the Obama administration ended its push for another freeze on Israeli settlements. This comes after 3 weeks of what Times reporter Mark Landler calls fruitless haggling with the Israeli government. The decision leaves the Mideast peace talks in limbo. The Palestinians say they won't resume negotiations without a settlement freeze. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange was denied bail by a London court. He'd been arrested on an extradition warrant from Sweden. He's wanted there for questioning in connection with alleged sex offenses. The developments were the latest twist in the drama involving WikiLeaks since the publication of leaked U.S. diplomatic cables. Times reporter John Burns explains what happened in court.
This hearing began with the heavy expectation that Assange would get bail. There were five or six people, friends of his, each prepared to pledge $30,000 or $40,000 for his release. When it didn't happen, I thought that the crunch point was when he refused to give an address. The Crown Prosecution Service had told the court that he had previously refused in discussions with the police to give a fingerprint, have his photograph taken, or a DNA sample taken. When it came to the court, he went one step further. He was asked to give his address. He gave a P.O. Box address in Australia. When he was then asked for a proper street address, he gave a street address in the state of Victoria in Australia. And my feeling was it was at that point that the judge decided that he had to be treated, for now at least, as a flight risk.
Times correspondent John Burns. Also on Wednesday's front page, a look at the feud between New York's two most prominent Democrats, Governor-elect Andrew Cuomo and former Obama administration car czar Stephen Ratner. At issue are kickbacks that financial firms gave state pension officials. Cuomo, who's been the state attorney general since 2007, says he's now considering perjury charges against Ratner. Newly uncovered notes from a 2007 meeting may explain Cuomo's anger. What Ratner said then was undercut later on by his own emails. Earlier in the year, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg and the teachers' union announced they were closing the so-called rubber rooms. That's where teachers the city was trying to fire sat around, biding their time and doing nothing while their cases worked their way through the system. The mayor said the teachers would now be put to work. Times reporter Sharon Otterman says the definition of work is pretty loose. Some teachers are doing filing. Others sit around at administrative offices where they do nothing. Elizabeth Edwards died of cancer at age 61. In the last 6 years, her personal dramas played out on a very public stage, among them her husband's affair with a campaign videographer and her battle against breast cancer. She discovered she had breast cancer in 2004 and was treated. The cancer returned in 2007, and her doctors had advised against further treatment. We'll go inside Wednesday's Times after this.
This New York Times podcast is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity system that features turn-by-turn directions. Sync locates your destination in seconds and then audibly guides you through all your turns over your car or SUV's audio speaker system without additional hardware to purchase. You can also save several destinations you may use frequently, such as home, and Sync will guide you there. Sync is a system that's subscription-free, and it's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit syncmyridepodcast.com.
Inside Wednesday's Times, the Irish government introduced a strict budget as protesters massed outside the Parliament building. Finance Minister Brian Linehan wants Parliament to approve $8 billion worth of savings for 2011. That's the first installment of a bigger plan to save $20 billion over 3 years. Ireland's struggling to reduce its debt amid a banking crisis. 19 nations are boycotting this week's Nobel Peace Prize ceremony for imprisoned Chinese dissident Liu Xiaobo. China announced it's creating its own peace prize named for the philosopher Confucius. That prize will be awarded on Thursday, the day before the Nobel ceremony. The Chinese prize is going to a Taiwanese politician who opened doors to the mainland. That's tenor Hugues Queneau singing Offenbach. He dazzled the critics in his Metropolitan Opera debut 23 years ago. He sang well, but he was 84 at the time. He appeared in Turandot with Plácido Domingo. Queneau was the oldest person to sing at the Met before or since. He died on Monday in Switzerland. He was 108. That's our preview of Wednesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.